In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We have this great gospel reading today. And it's great not just because of its length or the number of names that are mentioned there, but it is great because it confesses that Jesus Christ is truly God and truly man. And so I'd like to bring back something that that we began to look at in our Advent retreat with Father John Ryman. Just a little bit at the end, he shared with us a reflection from St. Ephrem the Syrian. And so I'd like to share that with you again, because it follows the same theme of the gospel reading today, that God truly became man. And so from St. Ephrem, his glory reveals his divine nature, which is from the Father, and his body reveals his human nature, which is from Mary. Both natures have united and without change and without commingling have been joined together in one hypostasis or person. The same is the only begotten of the Father, who is the only begotten of Mary. And he who separates them is himself separated from his kingdom. And he who commingles his natures into one will have no part in his life. He that denies that Mary gave birth to God shall not see the glory of his divinity. And whosoever denies that he was clothed in flesh, who was free from the stain of every sin, shall be shut out from salvation and from the life which is given by his body. So it's important that we confess Jesus as both God and man. The events of his life and his own divine powers teach those who can learn that he is true God, and his sufferings openly proclaim him true man. For if he were not flesh, for what reason did Mary bring him forth? And if he was not God, who then did Gabriel call Lord? If he was not flesh, who then lay in the manger? If he was not God, to whom did the angels coming on earth give glory? If he was not man, who was wrapped in swaddling clothes? If he was not God, whom then did the shepherds adore? If he was not man, whom did Joseph circumcise? And if he was not God, in whose honor did a new star appear in the heavens? If he was not man, whom did Mary nourish at the breast? And if he were not God, to whom did the Magi offer gifts? If he were not man, whom did Simeon take in his arms? And if he was not God, to whom did Simeon say, "Let me depart in peace"? If he was not man, whom did Joseph take and fly with into Egypt? And if he was not God, in whom was the prophecy fulfilled, "Out of Egypt I have called my son"? If he was not man, whom did John baptize? And if he was not God, of whom did the Father from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased"? If he was not a man, who slept in the boat? And if he were not God, who was it that rebuked the winds and the sea? If he was not of our flesh, who so wore the garments of a man? And if he were not God, who then was it that wrought signs and wonders? If he was not a man, who spat upon the earth and made mud from the clay? And if he were not God, who caused the eyes to see because of the clay? If he was not man, who wept at Lazarus' tomb? And if he were not God, who by his command alone called forth the 4 days dead? If he was not a man, who was beaten with blows? And if he was not God, who healed the ear which Peter had cut off, and who restored it to its place? If he was not a man, who was it that hung upon a cross? And if he were not God, who moved the mountains from its foundations? If he was not a man, whose hands were pierced by the nails? And if he were not God, how was the veil of the temple rent in two, and the rocks split asunder, and the graves opened? If he was not a man, whose side was opened by a lance, and there came out blood and water? And if he were not God, Who hath broken the gates of hell and burst the iron bars? And by whose command did the dead that slept in their graves come forth? This is about half of the reflection. There's more. It's beautiful. So through Christ's genealogy, the church shows us that he truly took on our human nature and became a man. He wasn't some ghost or apparition. He didn't just appear as man. He's not some distant imagined God or the abstract God of philosophers, because such a God does not have a human family tree. Our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He has flesh and blood human ancestors, many of whom sinned greatly, but, like the prophet David, repented greatly also. And this is our great hope. This is our great hope. Yet all of these righteous ones in every age have been well-pleasing to God because they loved him. Brothers and sisters, we have struggles and hardships just as they did. Often theirs were far greater. And we see through them that God is faithful in the good times and the difficult. And we have their example of faithfulness and repentance in response to God's love and mercy. We know that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And yet, we still condemn others who hurt us rather than forgive them as we ought. And we tend to give in to fear rather than trust that God in his providence knows what we need and will care for us. We find it so hard some days, to set aside a little bit of time for prayer and thanksgiving to him that has given us every good thing. I read this somewhere, and I wholeheartedly agree with it, that the true measure, I might have modified it slightly, the true measure of success of a church is not how many people come to the services. It's not about seats in the seats. But the true measure of the success of a church is how many people live a changed life because they come. The degree to which their lives reflect Christ because they are a Christian. The Christian life requires purposeful and sustained effort. So let us repent and run to him who has become man for our sakes and find our refuge in him. To be counted among his family together with all those who, though they may have sinned greatly in their great repentance, were still counted among the righteous. Glory to God for this great hope that we have in him. Amen.